Well, it went from this.
I would say 80, maybe even 90% of it is ready to go over the line. So there's not a lot left, but what is left is serious.
And then this.
You optimistic?
What are we going to do today?
I don't see why not.
To this.
We are calling on FM and DFM to clear up the obvious mess that has been created by this process.
So are you saying that the proposals are unviable?
We're saying they're not viable and they're not acceptable, but we're saying that neither is the status quo, and we do want to see change, and we want to see something that's fair.
Well, Ulster Unionist Party leader Mike Nesbitt there initially sounding positive about the Haas talks as they drew to a close, but last night he and his party said no. He's on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
So the Haas blueprint, it's unacceptable, it's not viable. Why?
Well, Lisa, you're playing clips which I think indicate that the Ulster Unionist Party put in 4 to 6 months of honest endeavour, very positively looking for better outcomes than the status quo. And let me be clear that as far as we are concerned, we do not think that the status quo is tenable in terms of parades. We don't like the status quo in terms of how respect is shown to the Union flag, the only sovereign flag that reflects the constitutional status of Northern Ireland.
But how do you go from saying that a deal could be done?
Survivors.
How do you go from saying that a deal could be done last week to now it being unacceptable and not viable?
Well, as Richard Haas himself said, the last day of the negotiations is always the most important. And that was a couple of days shy of the last day, and I was reflecting the fact that the Ulster Unionist Party was extremely positive, was very, very willing to do something that would change the status quo, to give the people of Northern Ireland something better and something fairer. But the last day of the negotiations was the most important, and those serious issues that I referenced were not resolved.
But you were 80 to 90% there. So how then have you come to a position where you've rejected the entire package?
Richard Haas was very, very clear that nobody was to cherry pick that last version 7 of his document. The options that he put forward were to accept it, to say we are taking it away to our ruling body, or to reject it in total. Those were the options Richard Haas put down. I believe 4 of the 5 parties respected his wishes in that regard, and 1 did not. And once you start cherry picking, you open a Pandora's box, and Pandora's boxes cannot be closed. Our party has taken a principled stand of saying, if you want us to take a look at that document in the round, we do not believe it is currently viable, not least given the fact the Alliance Party were cherry picking at it.
So you're blaming the Alliance Party for this whole thing collapsing?
What I'm saying is 4 of the 5 parties respected Dr. Haas when he said you either accept the whole document, you take the whole document away to your ruling body, or you reject the whole document. Where we stand at the moment, Lisa, because we can pick over where we've been, but let's talk about where we are and where we go next. We went into this process at the invitation of the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister. We abided by the terms of reference which they published for this Haas process. And those terms of reference make clear that there are 2 outputs at the end of the process. Number 1 is a report with recommendations. That is Haas version 7, and that has gone to Stormont Castle. The second is the identification of next steps and the way forward. And that falls to Peter Robinson and to Martin McGuinness. And that is why the Ulster Unionist Party were very clear last night in saying we call on the First Minister and Deputy First Minister to exercise their responsibility and identify jointly a way forward.
Well,
and
talking of last night, you went to your party's ruling executive last night. What was your recommendation? Did you endorse the Haas proposals?
I never discussed the internal workings of the Ulster Unionist Party in public, Lisa. But what I will say is that we're calling on the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister to act jointly on this, which they're not at the moment, because Peter Robinson appears to be saying we need a working group to discuss how we can develop Haas version 7. Martin McGuinness, on the other hand, is saying if we have a working group, it should only be to implement Haas version 7.
But you're specifically, when it comes to you, Mike Nesbitt, you're the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party. So surely you should be leading from the front. And what are you saying to your party about whether or not to endorse the proposals?
We discussed it last night, and we decided that Haas version 7 was not viable and therefore was not acceptable, and we were calling on the first and deputy.
And was that your recommendation to the executive?
I'm not talking about the internal processes of the Ulster Unionist Party, Lisa, but what we published was the motion which we agreed last night at our executive meeting. Very well attended, people coming from all over Northern Ireland on an awful January night because they are passionate about identifying a better way forward for all the people of Northern Ireland that addresses three very important issues in their own right and which would also unlock the potential for all of us, those of us who work up at Stormont, to get on with the bread and butter issues that people want us to be focused on, the economy, education.
But you can't get on with the bread and butter issues until these issues are resolved. So specifically spell out for us this morning what is unacceptable, what isn't viable.
Well, we would need between 9 and 10 o'clock, Lisa, to go through the document line by line. There are parts which we like, parts which we don't like, but I refer you back to the fact that Dr. Haas was very clear in the options for the party, and those options revolved around the entirety of version 7 of the document. So it is not in the spirit of Haas to start cherry-picking. We like this bit, we didn't like that.
But surely you can summarise for us.
Say to you,
summarise for the voters who will be going to the polls
idea
this year.
Of a mental health initiative, something that I called for at the Ulster Party conference last year. Of course we would love that, but you have to look at all the issues in the whole. That's how it was put to us by Dr. Haas as chair of the process. We're now at a point where the report has gone back to FMDFM as per the terms of reference of this whole process. And it is now up to those two individuals, Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness, to define a way forward, but to do it jointly, not two separate proposals.
But with respect, Mike Nesbitt, there are people sitting listening this morning who heard you last week say that it was 90% there. You've said that the 10%, it was, it's fairly big stumbling blocks. But what the people would be asking you today to do is to explain to them what those stumbling blocks are and whether they can put an X in the box for the Ulster Unionist Party this year at the polls.
Well, we don't like the status quo and we wanted to change the status quo and we went in positively. At the time I was speaking, that was an honest and positive assessment of where we were, but that was 2 days short of the last day, the day Richard Haas said was the most important. And things changed over that 48-hour period, Lisa, and not in a good way for the people of Northern Ireland. And there were parts of parading which we are finding very, very difficult. Clearly, in terms of the flag, it went absolutely nowhere. And the bottom line, for anybody who signed up to the Belfast Agreement in 1998, or indeed came on board at St Andrews in 2006, is an acceptance that in terms of sovereign flags, there is only one that reflects the constitutional status of Northern Ireland, and that status is part of the United Kingdom, and that sovereign flag is the Union flag. And we couldn't agree how we should give meaning and expression to the flying of the sovereign flag. That was very, very disappointing. And we also had some difficulties with some of the proposals in terms of the past, because we are letting down victims and survivors, but also we are letting down society that wants to move on. And we want to move on, but you have to do it in a way
in what way?
You're not forgetting about victims and survivors, or indeed disregarding the rule of law.
In what way, Mike Nesbitt, did the Haas proposals specifically let down victims?
I'm not going to go into all the details this morning, Lisa. Why don't you speak to the victims and survivors and let them have a voice? Because we listened
just
very
going into the detail of one of the stumbling blocks would help.
United, and they were absolutely against a lot of the proposals within the Haas cause because they did not consider them to be an ethical way forward. Our difficulty with what we have at the moment, the status quo in terms of dealing with the past, is that there are four processes: public inquiries, historical inquiries team, police ombudsman, and Article 2 compliant coroner's courts. In total, they tend to put an almost exclusive spotlight on the actions of the state and the agents of the state, and not on those responsible for 90% of the murders, the IRA and all the other Republican and Loyalist terrorist groups. What we want is a process that shines the light into all dark corners. Our fear with the proposals that were on the table in Haas 7 was that it would simply increase the part of the light on the state and the agents of the state. And that okay. is clearly not fair.
OK, Sinn Féin MLA Gerry Kelly joins us. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Gerry Kelly, Mike Nesbitt has said there that the Haas proposals let down victims. Is that your assessment?
No, I don't think so. The problem with Mike Nesbitt and unionism is that when they talk about victims or they talk about the community, they talk about one section of it. I think that this was always going to be a compromise, that there were five parties involved in it, that Meg Nesbitt now is saying that it's up to the First and Deputy First Minister, indeed the two main parties, runs absolutely contrary to what he's normally out there complaining about, which is they are not involved. They were involved in this process. On the last day of the talks, Meg Nesbitt was up for it, and then he changed his mind and he gave whatever explanation he'd give in terms of that. In my own view, it is not to deal with leadership. I don't think we should fudge this. There has been a report. Everybody was involved in it. He talks about 90% sure. Maybe that could be said, of all the parties, that this is not going to be a Republican document or a nationalist document or a unionist document for that matter. What it was an honest attempt, after talking to all the parties, which is important, after the negotiations, after 6 months of negotiations, to find a report that we could all move forward with. And we believe it's that. It's certainly not the document that we would have written. But when is there a negotiation at the end of which you come out with all that you've wanted in the first place?
Do you expect the DUP to say yes now that the UUP has said no?
Well, the DUP will speak for themselves, and I leave it up to them. They're going to go through the thing. But our position is very clear as a negotiating team, and indeed as the leadership of the party. We're bringing a proposition to our Ard Cooley on the 11th of January, which is saying that we should move ahead with this report. And, in fairness, it has to be said of this about Mike Nelson. I don't want all this to be about the DUP. But he described it as a mess. He just didn't describe that they weren't able to come to a conclusion. His words this morning was that it was a mess and it was unviable and unacceptable. They're fairly strong words.
Well, he's still with us, Gerry Kelly. Can you persuade him to come back on board?
I know he is. He's listening and will have his own view of all of this, but I'm giving you my opinion of it. So it's a fairly hard-nosed rejection of work which was done by all the five parties throughout a period of 4 to 6 months.
Is it what you recognise?
Pardon?
Is it what you recognise? A mess, unacceptable, not viable?
No, absolutely don't accept that at all. As I said earlier, there are some disappointments in it for us and there are disappointments for other parties in it. But as an attempt, a basis to move forward, as a basis of implementation, because we're talking about the five-party implementation group, set up the implementation group and let's implement this. And let's move it forward. What people expected of us, and I think that Mike is feeding into perhaps a cynicism out there, but what people are expecting of all the parties from different angles, that they come at this, is that they will move forward together and make a difference to victims and survivors and make a difference to all of these toxic issues. And everybody's described them as toxic, which are actually preventing, or if not preventing, certainly making it much harder to move forward in our political and peace process. We have an opportunity, it won't come along too often, and we have used that opportunity. Now we must continue to use it, and that's our view of it.
Well, can we go ahead without the UUP? Can the parties that have signed up to Haas press ahead?
Well, I think that's up to a discussion, perhaps at the executive at the executive table. These are all parties of the executive, therefore they're all in the assembly. The legislation which is necessary to implement some of the recommendations here has to go through the executive anyway. Now, in the end, if the UUP isolate themselves, then the executive has a decision on that.
But this working party looks dead in the water already, given the disagreement between the First and Deputy First Minister over it.
Well, let's see. All the calls haven't come in yet, if I can put it that way. And let's wait till they come in and see where it goes. I mean, our position is very, very clear. We've put it out publicly. And we want the implementation of the Haas report. We want to maintain a momentum. and we're up for doing that. You know, and it wasn't an easy negotiation for anybody. You know, we all come in there with our own thoughts, but we went in with while we had our own views and strong views and passionate views, we went in with an open mind. And that's the way we've approached all of these negotiations. And I think we have the basis to move forward. And, you know, up till the last moment, so did Mike Nesbitt. So he has explained where he went to. I think that the Ulster Unionist Party in particular, and perhaps the DUP will speak for themselves, has been overly influenced by the Orange Order. And it reflects back to 2010, where, in fact, there was agreement there on parades with the DUP and ourselves, and it was the UUP at that stage who inveigled the Orange Order to reject it.
OK, well, let's let Mike Nesbitt respond to that. Are you overly influenced by the Orange Order?
No. No, we're not. I'm personally not, never have been, a member of any of the loyal orders. I'm no threat to anybody who wants to express their culture.
But many of your party members are.
In a peaceful and a respectful manner. We are absolutely not influenced by the Orange Order. We consulted broadly on this and have already identified, and have said this through the latter stages of the process, our main concerns with regard to language and institutions for dealing with the past. We will never agree on the why, but we can agree on the what and some of the language that has to be used. It's not for Richard Haass, Gerry Kelly, or for me to say what act was or was not an act of terrorism.
Do you accept that you're now sounding more and more like an anti-agreement party than a pro-agreement party?
It's part of the law, and all the political parties in that process say that they sign up to the rule of law.
Do you accept that you are sounding more like an anti-agreement party than a pro-agreement party at the moment?
No, I don't. What I'm saying to you, Lisa, is that I do not, and the Ulster Unionist Party, don't accept the status quo across the three issues. And I would be surprised if anybody does, because if that was the case, why would they be involved in a talks process which was designed to bring about change?
Does this essentially boil down to the word terrorism within the Haass document?
Well, we have broad concerns, but I'm giving you one of them. We can debate from now to forever about why people did what they did. In my view, they made a choice, and if they're prepared to accept that they made a choice, so much the better. But what I'm saying is, what actually happened has definition beyond what I say it is, or anybody else at the talks say it is. When it comes to acts of terrorism, it's defined in the 2000 Terrorism Act, and if you say you believe in the rule of law, you accept the 2000 Terrorism Act along with the entire panoply of the law.
You wanted the Haass document to spell that out specifically?
Yes.